Good morning, everyone. My name's Melissa Hale, and I'm the coordinator of Disability Advocacy Resource Unit. It's great to see you all here today. Our forum today is being held on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation, and I wish to acknowledge them as traditional owners. I would like to pay my respect to their elders past and present, and the elders from other communities who may be here today. I would also like to welcome those of us who have joined us online. Just a reminder to those watching online, please feel free to text message your questions for our presenters today, and I will ask your questions on your behalf. The number will be displayed on the screen for you to see. Some general housekeeping before we start. If you need the toilet, they're on both sides of me, and there is another accessible toilet downstairs. In the event of a fire warden will attend and provide instructions on how to exit the building safely. So today's agenda will see us have a conversation about our new project with the Office for Disability, about our Disability Advocacy by the Numbers report. Later on, we'll have three sessions on family violence and people with disabilities, child protection, and plan management options in the NDIS. And at the end of the day, we'll also have an update from the Office for Disability. So, we've worked with the Office for Disability to produce Disability Advocacy by the Numbers report, which looked at the data and trends observed across advocacy agencies in Victoria. I would like to invite Llewellyn Rainder, the Policy Manager at VCOS, who's also a big part of our DALRU team, to present on some of the findings and next steps of this project. Please welcome Llewellyn.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for that introduction, Melissa. I'll just wait one moment while we get the PowerPoint up. And wanted to really spend today telling you a little bit about our Disability Advocacy by the Numbers report and some of the issues we've encountered in that report regarding data collection in the Disability Advocacy Program. And we're really interested in having a longer conversation with you and your managers about how we can better collect data so that we can get the best information about disability advocacy and the difficulties people with disability are experiencing so that we can use that information to better inform our advocacy and better communicate to governments about what is happening in the community. So what we have been doing is every quarter, disability advocacy agencies will report their data through the quarterly data collection process to the Office for Disability. What the Office for Disability have done is aggregated that data, so it is de-identified and aggregated, and given it to us to present in a report. Now we are at the moment finalising that data. We've just had some last minute data changes that we need to incorporate. But what I want to do today is give you a bit of a sneak peek about what that data is beginning to tell us, and also talk, I guess, some of the difficulties we've had with the data in the hope that we can have a broader conversation in the coming months about the best things to collect data on and the best ways of reporting that data. And to help inform that, and on your tables you will find the supplementary data report that we have produced. It's still in draft form, but we did want to give you a copy so you can start thinking about some of the issues that we will be talking about today and in coming months. But I do want to give you a bit of a snapshot about what the data are beginning to tell us. So this won't be in the report that you've got, but it will be in the report that we will produce and circulate to you in the coming weeks. So disability advocacy organisations funded by the Victorian government see over 800 people in every quarter, in every three-month period. About half of those people are clients new to disability advocacy services. And what we see is that there are slightly more male clients than there are female clients. We've seen over the last 4 years, because we have 4 years of data to present to you, a rising number of young people accessing disability advocacy services, and that trend has been quite stark in the data we have so far. We also know that around 4% of disability advocacy clients report that they are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and around 10% are reported to be from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. So in terms of a quick snapshot about what some of the data are telling us, they're kind of some of the headline findings. The other thing that, the other data we have is in your quarterly data reports, you will nominate which advocacy issues people are presenting with. And what we see is that some advocacy issues are far more prevalent and prominent than others. So the big two, which make up over 20% of the issues reported through the data collection, are disability services in the NDIS and education. And those two issues make up over 40% of the issues reported amongst your clients. The other significant ones we see is accommodation issues at just over 10%, legal issues also at about 10%, and health issues, which is approaching 10% as well. So those five top issues make up nearly three quarters of the issues that clients are presenting with. So we collect data on around a dozen different issues, but five of them really stand out as making up three quarters of the issues people are presenting with. I will note that these data aren't final. Those numbers may change slightly once we produce the final report. But it gives you a good indication, and they won't change a lot. And by the way, if anyone has questions or comments during the presentation, I'm really happy for you to ask questions while we're going, or make comments while we're going. The other things I think it's worth noting is the gender split of disability advocacy clients. So what we see is just over a majority of clients are male, which is interesting because we know among people with disability, women are slightly more likely to have a disability, and yet the clients that are presenting at disability advocacy organisations are a slight majority of are men. That's an interesting difference that we've seen in the data. The other interesting difference we've seen is the age group that are presenting to disability advocacy organisations. So among people with disability, according to the data we have from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, around 40% of people with disability are aged over 65. But we see that only around 5% of clients presenting to disability advocacy organisations are reported to be over 65. So there is a big difference in that particular age group between the people that have disabilities and the people using disability advocacy services. In other age groups, they're all well represented, and in fact, there are quite a number of young people with disability using disability advocacy services, but in older age groups, we see the reverse. And we will present more data in more detail just once we've finalised it in a full report presenting you with all of the data that we have that you've reported through this process. And as I said, we have 4 years of data, so it's actually quite a rich data source. But we also wanted to talk to you about the quality of that data and the suitability of that data. Because there's an opportunity at the moment, both with the recent review of the Disability Advocacy Program conducted by the Victorian Government, as well as the Victorian Government's response to the Abuse and Neglect Inquiry, which included a commitment by the Victorian Government to review the data collection process. So The report you've got in front of you, it is a draft report, but it won't change substantively once we produce the final report. It starts to outline some of the issues we've discovered in collating this data. Some of those key issues are there's a lot of missing data. So what we notice is that many agencies aren't fully reporting on all of the items in the data. So for example, we only have gender data for about 60% of clients. The other 40% are not, their gender is not recorded in the reports that are coming back to the Office for Disability. Similarly, just under half of people are not having an age group recorded for them in the data that's being sent through to the Office for Disability. And we see that across categories in the data collection process. So that limits very much the accuracy with which we can interpret the data and our ability to draw conclusions about what is happening in the community for people with disability who are using advocacy services if we don't have the complete data set to interpret. So we're really interested in opening a conversation with you about what some of the challenges in completing the data might be and how that process might be changed so that we can get more complete and more accurate data. Another issue that we've found is that the current way data collected means we're collecting data on the same people over and over again. Because the data is collected quarterly, quite often you might be assisting a person for many, many months, even years. But the reporting process requires you to report on those people every 3 months. So that creates a number of difficulties for us in adding up the numbers that we have, because if we add them together, we will be counting the same people twice because they've been required to be reported over and over again. And we think there's, you know, some useful discussion about how we might reduce the reporting burden for you, not having to report the same people over and over again. As well as giving us a stronger data set that means we can add up the numbers and get a total for a year or for many years without counting people twice. We have also noticed that some of the questions that are asked of you to report on can be quite difficult to interpret. So, for example, one question asks you to report how many culturally and linguistically diverse clients you are seeing. But what counts as a culturally and linguistically diverse client? How do we determine that? Who is deciding who is counted as culturally and linguistically diverse or not? So we think through a number of the questions, we need to be clearer on what data we're actually looking for and how we decide whether a person fits into a category or not. Another example is these advocacy topics. So when if a person comes to you and say, I need to leave my home because I'm experiencing family violence, which category does that fit into? Is that an accommodation issue? Is that an abuse and neglect issue? Is that a gender issue? It's very unclear for me, about how we decide what category how we're categorising advocacy issues. And that means it's unclear when we say 10% of the issues are accommodation issues, what is that including and what is it not including? So we think there's a useful discussion in saying, well, how do we categorise different advocacy issues and what is included in a category and what isn't? Which brings me to the final point there, is we don't know in this data whether organisations are interpreting the questions in the same way. There are some, you know, interesting differences in some of the data from quarter to quarter, where we see drastic increases and decreases in a particular topic or issue. And we wonder if everyone is reporting the issues in the same way, which is giving rise to those very lumpy data that we're getting in some of the data sets. And you'll see that in the final report when it comes out. So what we're proposing, and we will come back to you in the coming months and ask these questions in more detail, but certainly we've suggested that we need to have a conversation about clearly understanding why we are collecting data, why you are filling out all of these forms every 3 months, and what is being done with the data, what's it for. We think that we need to sit down and really go provide some very clear questions and clear guidance on what those questions are so that we can ensure that everyone's collecting the same data in the same way so that we can meaningfully interpret the data. We think we should have a look and make sure that we're not asking you or you're not being asked to collect the same data and report it over and over again. We think there are probably some clear opportunities to reduce the reporting burden on you and not having to report the same clients every 3 months over and over again. And finally, we think there's some opportunities to collect the data in a way that is easier for you to report and makes sure that there are some checks and balances so that the data that you're reporting is meaningful. I might just stop 1 second and ask if there are any questions that people have at the moment or even any comments on data collection that people have.
We had 1 question from someone online and they said, can we collect data on disability support pension applications and appeals?
That's a very good suggestion, and in fact it picks up on a suggestion we've made in the report, and you'll see on pages 2 and 3 of the report we've actually set out some of the options that we're suggesting, but more than happy to hear other options. But one of those is we actually have no category for financial issues. Now, certainly some of our discussions with disability advocacy organisations reveal that quite a lot of clients are often presenting with issues around the disability support pension or issues with their financial management or issues with who is controlling their money. But we actually have no category for reporting those issues. So, again, it's a very good suggestion because we really need to go back and look at, well, what are the issues clients are facing? Because we think, you know, there's room for improvement in actually categorising what different advocacy issues are.
We need to wait for these because of the online people.
Hi. I have a similar question, I guess, in terms of NDIS. Are you hoping to get more specific data on the types of issues people are coming to you with? Because I see it there, it's NDIS, but then it could be accommodation or transport. It could span a whole lot of sectors.
And look, and it comes to another point that we've raised in the discussion paper, which is, again, particularly in an NDIS environment where the NDIS is actually funding an awful lot of these things. So when we categorise an issue, are we categorising it about the agency that we're dealing with, or are we categorising it about the cause of the problem? And again, it's another important point for the discussion is what's the best way of capturing an issue? Well, we're talking to the NDIS, so therefore it's an NDIS issue, or is it, well, we're actually talking about a person's access to healthcare, so it's a healthcare issue. And at the moment, it's really unclear. You just have a list of topics and you're expected to put numbers against them. So it's a very valid question, and I think one that we need to discuss in more detail.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment on the disability advocacy data collection. You were talking before about the fact that it seems to be always the same people who are, we are collecting the data from. And that really, yeah, I completely agree with that, because that happened even with our program. And I think that the reason for that is because a lot of people need support for a long period of time. And the other reason is because the people who use advocacy services are always going to be the one who come back again, and it's difficult to get new people to come. So I think that sometimes there needs to be more awareness and support for people who have never used advocacy services or self-advocacy services. And I'm thinking, for example, about people who come from a cold background. They need to be more support there. To change also the perception on the fact that we are there for them. Mm. We are there to support them.
Thank you, Christian. And you raise a couple of really important issues, because firstly, yes, certainly we believe that there are probably better ways to reduce the reporting burden rather than reporting the same people over and over again. But the other issue you raise is actually really important as well, which is how do we capture a useful measure of the work that you're doing, even if it is seeing a client for a very long period, or if you are getting a person who has previously come to your service with one issue and actually comes back and asks for assistance with a different issue. And our current reporting mechanisms aren't able to capture those distinctions. And we have a number of options in this discussion paper around, well, should we be looking at capturing data on the number and lengths of advocacy cases rather than just counting the number of people that an organisation is seeing, which could be an interesting, is one possible way of being able to unpack the complexity that you're talking about. And also, I think the related point there is also how do we as a sector communicate our services to a broader audience? And I think that's a really important point for us to think about as well, including through other mechanisms.
Barbara Carter from the Office of the Public Advocate. I'm hoping you can say a little more about the legal category and what will be included in that. I'm particularly interested, as a later speaker today, about whether that would include people who sought advocacy in relation to child protection issues, but also does it include, for example, VCAT applications, state trustees, guardianship and advocacy, and do you have any idea of the breakdown?
So the short answer is no. Because, and is related to the same issue, that there is no guidance about what is included in this category. So it is left to the judgment of the particular service or the particular person filling out the form about what is included in which category. And the cases you mention are precisely some of those ones where it's really unclear, is a child protection issue a family issue or is it a legal issue? There is no clarity around who's reporting what in which category.
My name's Angela. I work in the Department of Education. I'm also a member of Citizen Advocacy in Sunbury. My question's similar to the previous one, and it's about the education issue. I'm just wondering if that is broken down into early childhood education, primary and high school, vocational education and training at TAFEs and higher education at universities. Is that, classification made in that a broader heading of education?
So, and the answer is the same, which is no. But it also raises an interesting other point in that there's always going to be limits to the amount of detail a data collection process can identify. But we've actually been thinking about this a bit at DARU as well, and thinking about, well, what other opportunities are there to actually dig a bit deeper into the data and say, well, what are the issues that are presenting in these boxes? And we're having a think and hoping to be able to perhaps roll out another process where we look at some, where we come back to disability advocacy agencies and have a conversation and saying, well, this issue is coming up a lot. Can we talk to you about what the detail of those issues? And then be able to provide perhaps a more qualitative report that actually says, here are the things that people are coming for advocacy support about, and here are the barriers that they're experiencing.
My name is Vice here from Gippsland. I've got a couple of comments, but there's a couple of things here that is concerns. If we could go back to the area where we had to recorded new clients or the older clients that you've been supporting from the last quarter. Yeah. It doesn't say or doesn't capture what the issues is. It just said how many clients you support in the last quarter. So it would be good to say, you know, to identify what particular issue those clients from the past quarter is continuing here. And then, you know, maybe then we can, you know, direct the support. And it'd be good to capture those issues or those problems, because if it's been going for long, there is some, need to be, attended to. And my second, question is that it's go back to the reporting of the age group. There is a big gap between 25 to 64. It doesn't capture those age in the 40s, the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. Because when you look at it and you think, where would I fit, these clients in this particular age? It's just a big gap, 25 to 64, and then, of course, then 65. Yeah, that was just 2 points I just wanted to put forward.
And thank you, Vi. I'm really pleased you raised that latter point because we have made a very similar recommendation about that exact fact. 25 to 64 is a massive age group. And really doesn't give us a lot of detail. So one of the recommendations we've made, or the options we've presented, is to actually segment that in more detail to give us a better idea about the age spread of people using services. On the first point, again, we kind of get back to the issue about trying to distinguish between counting the number of people and actually trying to understand how many cases are going on and how long are those cases taking. So I think there's some opportunities there to have a think, both around what data is recorded, but also how difficult that will be for organisations to report. Because we're very aware is we don't want to make your lives harder by asking for data that is very difficult to generate.
And also in your disability.
It's also in the area of recording the disability. So, say for instance, it's an example, it's someone with a physical disability and it's been having these issues for quite some time, it comes from last quarter to this quarter, then, it's not captured that, to look at it, it might be, to do with housing or, accessible, or someone with an intellectual disability, that's a different, issues that face that person with intellectual disabilities, but it's been continuing on for, been reported in the last quarter and it's still going on to this quarter. It's not capturing to see why, is there services, is there a gap in there for the services, to provide that need. Yeah.
Mm.
I hope I make myself clear.
No, I think it's a really important issue that we need to think about in this. And look, the other point I will make that is related is while there are questions in the QDC form about the type of disability, we haven't been given that data to present to you. And we think there's similarly a useful conversation to talk about whether those categories are right, whether that's a useful thing even to do, is to try and classify people's disabilities. Because once again, we can get better information about who is experiencing what type of issue if we do that. I'm very aware of time, so I might quickly jump to the end, but thank you for that feedback. That's been really useful, and I'm particularly pleased that so much of it reflects some of the recommendations that we've produced in the report. In terms of a process going forward, there are a number of questions we're really interested in discussing with you in the future, and they include, really what information, what do we want to know about disability advocacy, and what are the best ways of capturing that? We're really interested in talking to you about how organisations actually capture the data. Do you do it through your intake process? Do you do it through other processes? Do you do it through case notes review? There's a lot of ways that organisations might do that, and it might vary from organisation to organisation. We're interested in whether more of the information should be made available to be made public. We have a subset of the data that we've been allowed to publish, but we're interested in a conversation about whether more of it could be provided. We're interested in having some detailed design questions about how do we word questions so that we get consistent interpretation and consistent numbers from different organisations. We're also interested in how we report systemic advocacy, group advocacy, and self-advocacy activities. They're currently not well captured in the reporting that is done. A lot of it is focused on individual advocacy. And we're interested in having a conversation about whether there's better ways to capture that information as well. And finally, we are aware that the Victorian government has made a commitment to looking at measuring demand for disability advocacy, as well as outcomes of disability advocacy. And there might be some really fruitful conversations about how to do that. Now, I am aware I'm eating into Alison's time, so I will wrap up very quickly. Just to say, we are at a moment in time, because of the processes that have been going on, to have some success and take hold of some opportunities at the moment to really improve this process so it's easier for you, so we get better data, and so that we can kind of advance the cause of disability advocacy, both within government and to the general community. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much, Llewellyn, for that. And we will be in touch in the coming month to do this together with you, because it's a group effort, it's your organisation we want to report on. So, yeah, you'll be hearing from us soon.